Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Divorce lawyers have been noticing an upswing recently in the number of pet custody battles they're dealing with, as in when a couple splits up and divide assets, perhaps share custody of the kids. What happens to the dog or the cat? Joining us now from WCPN in Cleveland is Andrew Zashin. He's a divorce lawyer there in Cleveland. Welcome to Here and Now.
Thanks so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So are you seeing an increase in custody battles over pets?
In my practice, I'm seeing an increase in custody battles over pets, as I think a lot of top practitioners are, people with the resources to fight about pets and who hold their pets near and dear to their hearts are prepared to fight for them.
And we're seeing across the board more than a quarter of the respondents to a recent survey of the American Academy of Matrimonial Lawyers have noted an increase in pet custody cases in the last 5 years. Why do you think that is, that the numbers are going up?
It's an interesting survey that they conducted, and I knew as soon as the survey came out and I participated in it that it was going to be about dogs. There's a reason why I think people say that a dog is a man's best friend. Dogs really are possessions, and they're treated that way in the law, but at the same time, we fight about them as if they're children. We invest in our dogs part of ourselves. We give them a personality that maybe they don't have. We dress them up like they're our children. We pamper them as if they're part of our family and send them to spas. So why do we do that? I think we do it because we can.
So how do you approach these cases when you're trying to help people figure out who should get custody or how they should share custody of a pet?
It depends on the situation. In cases where there's not a tremendous amount of money, one of the things that I saw most recently is a technique that is employed in cooperative parenting, which is we call bird nesting, where the people couldn't agree on who should have the dog. So instead of the dog moving like we would move a child back and forth between homes, the parents, the pet owners in this case, would move in and out of the house to accommodate the pet so they could have equal time with the pet in the house and they wouldn't traumatize the pet. In other cases, we've seen situations where we couldn't things were acrimonious. In one particular case, we couldn't decide how a dog would be transferred, so the dog was bought its own car and became very comfortable in its car, and so the car went with the dog. Everything needs to be dealt with on a case-by-case basis.
But how does it usually end up? Do people usually get to share custody of the pet?
Okay, when we talk about pet custody, generally speaking, it's a misnomer. Courts don't arrange pet parenting plans as we do child shared parenting plans. A dog, or any pet for that matter, is an asset of a marriage. It's no different from a couch or something that's not divisible. A bank account you can split, but you can't split a dog. And you
but
can't
you can
really
split time that you get to you can, have
that's
the dog.
Right. Yes, that you can do that. But the only way that's going to happen, generally speaking, is if the parties agree. Now, if the parties agree and they put forth a plan that seems reasonable, a judge is most likely to enforce that plan. And then when the plan doesn't work, then you come back to court and we talk about who has violated the plan. So that it becomes a contractual matter. We had a case not too long ago where a dog missed its parenting time, so to speak, with the other dog parent. And we went to court over that, and it so happened that our client brought in x-rays to show that the dog was wounded and was not able to be transferred. And so it really was sort of personified in the same way a child would be personified in post-decree litigation, that is, after a divorce. When parties are divorced, we effect a complete separation between the parties. We want to disentangle them as much as possible. So we don't want loose ends that keep people together because we're getting divorced for a reason. The notable exception, of course, is children. And the thing about children is there's an expiration date. They turn 18. They graduate from high school. They become emancipated. The problem with the dog, now, they're always dogs. They're always dog children. They're always minors. There's always something to fight about. So if you really want to fight about something and you want to fight about it forever, it's a really good idea to create a pet custody shared parenting relationship. And then you can fight with your ex-spouse for years and years and years.
Now, a lot of people, Andrew, are probably listening to this and saying, who cares about the custody of people's pets? But you, as a divorce lawyer who's dealt with a lot
and
of
a
these,
dog owner.
And a dog
and a dog owner.
Dog owner. Right?
And could you mind, Jeremy, if I just shout out to my dog, Aldo the Apache. Aldo, I love you, big boy. I hope you're listening.
Right. Well,
hope I'm making you proud,
But would you say that these cases generally are acrimonious, or are the two sides friendly with each other when they're trying to figure out what to do with the dog?
No. If people are fighting about a dog, they're really acrimonious. Generally speaking, that is what happens. And you, the intensity people can invest in a pet is extraordinary. We had a case not too long ago where the parties were fighting about a dog, and the husband in the case was convinced that the wife was alienating the dog against the husband. And we fought about it with tremendous intensity.
So, Andrew, how do you win a case like this? What's your number one piece of advice to somebody who might go through a battle like this?
How do you win a case like this? You win the dog. The person with the dog at the end of the case is the winner. Can I give you an example?
Yeah.
I had a case a long time ago, and we had everything resolved in the case except for ownership of the dog. And it was a zero-sum game. That is to say, someone got the dog and someone didn't. These people were married for a short time. There was a prenuptial agreement. One of the assets that was not considered was ownership of the dog. And both there were no children involved, but both parties called the dog Bo. One, my client, the wife in this case, called the dog Bo Peep. And the husband called the dog Rambo. Each side came to court with pictures of the dog dressed up in appropriate clothing. So my dog came in sailor suits, and there's pictures of it on its little boat, and she's holding the dog, and these are – we went on vacation, and it was – oh, with a sailor hat and looked like Popeye sort of. And the husband had pictures of the dog in a camouflage vest and all the rest of this. So what we were trying to do is persuade the judge that Bo was really our dog. It was our version of Bo, Peep or Rambo. And at the end of the day, the better prepared side won, which was my side. We did a better job convincing the dog that Bo Peep was the dog. And that's how we won. I mean, she got the dog and there was no visitation plan. Obviously, this is not something that we would advocate. Don't fight about a dog if you can avoid it. It's expensive. Get another dog. I mean, I love my dog. People love their dog. Get another dog.
Andrew Zashin, divorce lawyer in Cleveland. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you, Jeremy. Thanks for having me.